are the voyagers of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Will the owner of the great big butt please move it out of my face?
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Being drawn, nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat, a thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, it's Old Shaziz here. I'm out here in my mad science laboratory. You're listening in via Wake Radio or We Roar Radio or No Borders Radio or Shaziz Radio or some of the other networks out there. And it's well appreciated. Share it with your friends and family out there on Facebook. We're talking about mad science and all kinds of subjects today. We also... you know, we're working on alternative energy and a contest for a pop boat, and so there's so many different things, and we might jump around here and there. I'm joined by my two friends, Muddy Mudman and Cultist Negran. How you doing, guys?
Very well, Mike. Very well.
Ed.
top of the morning to you, wherever you are.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about all kinds of stuff off air there. One of the things that we were talking about was the Hollow Earth theory. What do you think about that, cultist?
Let's get Buddy's take on it first, because we both had a little chat off air. Buddy, have you heard of the Hollow Earth theory?
Oh yeah, I heard of it. They even detonated a bomb on the moon to find out if it was hollow, and it rang like a bell.
There's
quite a bit of a possibility, and you've seen lots of pictures of the hole in the North Pole and the hole in the South Pole, and they aren't exactly on the poles, but it would suggest that the Earth was tilted. I'd say it's hollow. They say 12 kilometers down was as far as they could go, as far as drilling. Things just got too hard.
Yeah.
The rock and the minerals got harder than the bit. And they spent, 5 years trying to get the last few hundred feet or so. And they said, "Put, that's it," and they gave up on it. So how can they tell us in science class, you know, that they're... Earth, the center of the Earth is molten lava and all them other layers, when they never even drilled down that far? They can't tell. They have no idea. So the hole in the north and the south, I've seen many pictures of them. They all look about the same. I'd say it's true.
You reckon it's true? No. I'm a little bit more skeptical, as we all would expect from me. I'm the agnostic of everything until I hold it in my hand. Nothing's real. Nothing's fake. But I don't know because this theory literally calls for two layers of the Earth, like the outer layer that we live on, and an internal layer. So literally, like, put the mountains and everything on the inside of the sphere, you know, and still having the center hollow. You know, we've got oceans and some sort of magical Middle Earth sun, and like, yeah, I don't know. But the one thing that kept me entertained the whole way through reading about this today was the German involvement, the Nazi involvement. And now, I don't speak German, but apparently these documents were German, and the translation in English was subtext into the videos. So if any of our listeners are German, I'll find that video in just a minute and link it in our chat. And if you just want to confirm or deny whether or not those translations are in fact true translations of what is written, not necessarily if the documents were authentic, that's, you know, nor here nor there for either of us to have guesswork at, but whether or not the translations are accurate, because, you know, we're talking like they had directions for submarines to go through these underground underwater passages to get to certain places, and, you know, they sent a heck of a lot of guys up to the Arctic towards the end of the Second World War. For what purpose? Well, we really don't know. Other stories I've heard say that, you know, a lot of the German scientists were brought back to work for NASA, and, you know, that would incorporate some sort of, you know, space kind of odyssey sort of thing involved there. I don't know. It almost seems too far-fetched. But at the same time, it's a case of, as I said, this is off air. They've kept the wool pulled over our eyes this long on the projects we're involved in. Who knows what they've got our eyes, you know, the wool pulled over our eyes with, just because we think we're landing in the North Pole and we catch an aeroplane. Who's to say we're not, you know, landing in the top of Greenland or something, you know? Like, that's where you've always landed, and they've always called it the North Pole. It must be the North Pole, you know what I mean?
Well, on the possibility of the moon being a hollow, that I could somewhat find a little plausibility in that, with the knowledge of how geodes are actually created. You guys are familiar with geodes, right?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Well, maybe the moon could be a large geode, you know, where those are hollowed out with crystals inside or whatever. I could see that possibility, but as far as the Earth being hollow, you know, once again, we go back to basic science, and what basic science tells me, it's not plausible. Of course, like you said, you know, you don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it ain't, but all I can see is that poor guy standing in the middle of the merry-go-round getting dizzy and losing his cookies, you know, because if the Earth is spinning 1,000 miles an hour on its axis and you're in the center of the Earth, you're screaming around in a circle, man. You're either being thrown up against the wall by centrifugal force, kind of like that barrel ride out at Worlds of Fun. You get in and the floor drops out and you're sucked to the wall. So
yeah, they say they took water out there in no gravity land, and they gave it a good spin, and it started developing a bubble on the inside, and it kept, you know, because it weighs less. And I figure if it's molten and it was spinning a little faster back then, you know, I don't think it's always been the same speed. They always say, yeah, the Earth is slowing down. So I mean, millions of years ago. Even like when God, you know, moved upon the face of the deep, all was chaos and all that, you know, hey, it was here. I mean, that time that it was speaking about, it means that the Earth was already here when they started talking about that. So it's many, many, many thousands or million years older than that. So yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a big bubble in the middle of it. Why not? I mean, because it was kind of a liquid when it was hot, you know, and it was spinning then. So, yeah, sure, it's got a big old bubble in the middle.
But a big enough bubble to support an entire bubble civilization?
I'm sorry, say again.
A large enough bubble to house a civilization?
Well, heck yeah, when Admiral Byrd went to Antarctica and everything, and he flew his plane for a while. And they were, you know, they're mapping out the land. It took them, like 40 years after discovering Antarctica before they even got onto Antarctica. And they went down there and they had a whole bunch of U.S. naval ships and stuff like that. And along with, I forget what other nation had was in it. And Admiral Byrd was over it. And he flew his plane and he disappeared. And there was no way that plane could have stayed aloft in the air as long as it did, because they lost him. And then he came back. And as they were leaving, they were, he met a guy called the High One or whatever. But anyway, he warned him about nuclear energy, atomic energy, and he says it was a power that we weren't meant to have. And the main deal is they did a little retaliation on the way back, and then all of a sudden these UFOs, and this is documented, a bunch of UFOs, flying saucer, disc-like crap, come shooting out of the water, and they were silent, and they were so accurate and fast that they were flying between the wires and poles and everything on the ship, and just blasting everything. And they did it just to teach them a lesson. They either they sunk the ship or they almost sunk the ship. But quite a few people died, and a lot were injured. And yeah, they got on out of there. And no, they didn't go back for a bit. And anytime you see anything that's written about anything at Antarctica, it's all science, and they split. They go down there. There's no war down there, Bubba. They don't bring any weapons, not at all. It is all science and research and all that. That's the only thing you'll ever find out about Antarctica, because they don't do that no more. They learned their lesson. They found out that they were outgunned, out-weaponized, and outmaneuvered, and flight and everything. So yeah,
The underground tunnel theory sits with me a lot better than Hollow Earth.
Oh, there's over there in the Mammoth Caves in Kentucky. Crashlight reminds me.
Yeah, just read that.
There's an entryway in from there. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's all right. No. That theory, the theory of underground tunnels and an underground base. Now, and we know what sort of things. your government's built over there, like some of the underground like cities pretty much that they've built over there. Like, you know, we know pretty massive structures can be built underground, you know. So the whole tunnels in the earth and underground bases, that sits with me a heck of a lot better than Hollow Earth, because Hollow Earth kind of needs, like, there was this map I was looking at earlier today, and it was basically showing a flow of oceans around two half spheres, you know, and the ocean flowing on both the inner and outer side of the spheres, and it being the one ocean, and, you know, this is just like, come on.
Well, then you also gotta factor in that if you are in there, the volcanic activity that we're seeing up on here, and the magnetosphere itself, because the Earth having a molten metal core would explain a magnetic field. Now, if there was somebody living down there, they've got one massive generator of epic proportions in order to create a magnetosphere such as what we've got that actually protects us from radiation from the sun. So, with that said, you know, I'm leaning more towards the molten metal core spinning down there. And we were also talking some time back about Fukushima, about the radiation melting through to the Earth's core. Now, I was trying to think of the worst case scenario on that whole deal of the actual radiation making it down there and then suddenly creating some massive explosion which could stall the Earth's core and create havoc throughout the world. I don't know, man. There's just so much to contemplate on a hollow Earth theory that just...
It is, isn't it? It's the sort of stuff we try to bend our heads around every day, isn't it?
Like,
it's
yeah.
Just so bizarre, is it? Is it? Is it plausible? I mean, let me twist this side of my brain to the left a little.
Well, going by the perspective of science itself, when you pick up, you get the volcano goes boom, and all these little rocks come out. Are they solid? No, they've been boiling. There's air in it. And if the Earth is spinning, yeah, of course, I'm pretty... I can't see how the Earth could not be hollow.
Centrifugal force would pull a bubble inside.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that the weight has to be swinging out. It just means that the center is lighter than the outside. It just has to go that way. You put blood in a centrifuge, and the cells go to the outside, and the plasma is... plasma is in the center. And that's how they separate it. Why not?
Well,
everything.
With all due respect, if the aliens are down inside the center of the Earth and they're allowing all the stuff to go on in the world like it is, they suck, man.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're probably they want the Earth.
Why don't they just come up and just wipe us off the map and get it over with?
Yeah, hurry up already.
Because it's like the slaves in Egypt. There's too many of them, and they're too strong. And the main deal is, well, shoot, what did they do? They fed them less, made them work more hours. What do you think's happening now? We're getting to eat less, and we're working more hours. Yeah, we are slaves.
Well, yeah, that's never been a secret.
Yeah, I agree with the whole slave deal there, but I still, you know...
Yeah, and they're food, make us weaker, all that stuff. I learned a lesson back in Egypt.
If I'm an alien... and I have the whole center of the Earth, I would find ways by which people just up and disappear, you know. Poof, they're gone.
Yeah.
People do disappear.
Well, yeah.
Anybody that has knowledge.
True.
They ain't come and got me
yet.
He's
got a point. He's got a point. He kind of sounds insane, but he's got a point, Shaziz.
They ain't come and got me yet. My feet must stink.
Yeah.
And if you're in a hollow Earth, you sure don't want somebody with stinky feet down there.
This is what I'm not familiar with the term of, but I think it's what we were just discussing actually with air in the middle and centrifugal force. Is the Crash Lights just said I'm more partial to the expanding Earth theory.
Now that sounds plausible to me.
Yeah.
Now, have either of you heard of that before?
Yeah, I've heard of
what that is.
The expanding Earth.
Well, let's also look at this. If like they taught us in school, which is wrong, the center of the Earth is a molten. Well, it's boiling. It's creating air. There has to be a hole for the air to get out, or the Earth is going to keep on swelling.
Well, that's where the volcanic activity comes in. It's a relief valve, so to speak.
Uh-huh. We're getting puffier.
Well, if the Earth's getting bigger, then that means my acreage should be spreading out at some point in the next million years, and I'll have, instead of 4 acres, I'll have 400 acres.
The problem is, mate, your tape measure is stretching out at the same time.
Ah, come on, man.
I've seen everything going on in the world. I tell you what, man, my head started expanding because it was boiling inside. I tell you, I got a big head. Size 8 3/4, Bubba. Man. It's hard to find a hat that fits. I put one of them ball caps on my head, and it just works its way up.
You need to get you one of those derbies. You need to get you one of those derby hats.
A derby hat?
Yeah.
No, I want one of them Mad Hatter hats like Lincoln wore, without the mercury.
So. We don't know whether it's the expanding Earth theory or whether it's a hollow Earth theory. So where do we go to from there?
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm still slightly unclear as to what the expanding Earth theory is.
Oh, well, essentially the Earth is getting bigger, you know, because of all the molten metal pushing the plates, the tectonic plates apart.
Okay, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Just the way that Buddy brought that in, kind of, maybe, I think it was a... Separate sort of idea, but that's all right. No, cool.
But then you have to also factor in, if we're going to go with the hollow Earth theory, where's all that mass coming from? You know, is it being pushed out? And if you look up, if you're like, let's say you're inside the Earth and centrifugal force is keeping you spinning around, you would be standing on the hot spot, and you know, wouldn't you like pop out of a volcano?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, Crash Life says, you know, if the Earth is expanding, they're going to increase the taxes on your land because it's getting bigger.
Oh, great! I knew there was going to be a loophole in there somewhere. Dang tax man!
Oh yeah, they find a reason to tax anything, man. Anything. You got one of them hybrid cars, and now there's a new tax just for them hybrid cars because they don't use as much gas or the electric vehicles. Yeah.
Well, you saw my video, Caveman Killed a Dinosaur, right?
No, I missed that.
Well, you need to go watch Caveman Killed a Dinosaur, because the folks was talking about how methane gas was one of the greenhouse gases that was causing runaway global warming and such, and so that meant that they had to tax the cows, because when the cows burp from chewing up the grass, they expel methane, and when they fart, same thing. So I was going to go into cork business and sell these big corks with disclaimers written on them that says if you get hit in the face with a cork, then I'm not held liable. But
that's almost back to my first radio show.
Yeah,
bringing that up.
need to tell them big giants, them 23-foot tall beasts down there in the middle of the Earth, to stop eating beans, and we'll have a lot less methane gas.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
We won't be pumping it into our home for heat, you know.
But see, that's
where do you think methane comes from, eh?
Well, natural gas. Okay. Methane's different. You're right.
So since everything's a theory, I think that my Caveman Killed the Dinosaurs theory is plausible. You know, because if a human fart's flammable, then you know that a dinosaur fart, that's got to be a huge one, man. You know?
Why not?
It's going to be breeze of cheese, blow
that's
you off the map.
That's when the volcano erupts, bub.
Yeah. And so when that caveman was trying to get his fire started, and he finally got that first spark and it hit that cloud of methane, you know, that just wiped all the dinosaurs off the Earth, man.
I love it.
And that's what you're supposed to do when you go camping, you know, and it rained, you know, the firewood, doggone, it's hard to keep it burning, so you eat beans and then sit around the campfire.
Yeah, but I'm telling you something. Hey, if you ever, ever, ever go anywhere and you come across a can of Cowboy Billy baked beans, I want a can of those beans so bad that I can taste them right now.
What are they called? Cowboy Billy Beans.
They're called Cowboy Billy Baked Beans. And I'm going to tell you what, those things should be outlawed. flat out, outlawed. Because you eat a can of Cowboy Billy baked beans and you want to talk about making a few less friends, that'll do it. You don't want to ride in an elevator after having a can of Cowboy Billy baked beans.
I have to send a package over to the US on Monday. I'm going to drop in a couple of tins of our ever famous Australian baked beans, and Muddy can forward one of the tins to you, and
cool.
You guys can both eat them live on radio
and see what happens.
Of Aussie baked beans.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Verbal communication only, by the way.
I'm in.
Verbal communication only that night, okay?
Okay. Hey, whatever picks up on the mic, picks up on the mic.
Oh, yeah, we're going to turn your mic down.
Hey, Crash threw a comment in here. He said that's how they got rid of the dinosaurs.
I believe
they
it.
They fed the dinosaur beans, and then when the dinosaurs came to them, they just fought them with torches and got out of the way.
I believe it.
Putting dinos.
Now, that's more plausible than the Hollow Earth theory, as far as I'm concerned.
Expanding your head.
But I'm serious. I'm going to put a reward out there. So if anybody finds a can of Cowboy Billy baked beans and can ship it over to me, I'll pay your shipping plus some.
It's like a golden can of beans.
Yeah. I found them quite some time back. I had two cans of them. I ate them. I lost all my friends in the house.
220 proof, huh?
Yeah, I'm telling you what, those beans, great. Those are the holy grail of fuel. I guarantee you.
There's some free energy in every can, is there?
Yeah. So, we're in search of a can of Cowboy Billy baked beans. If you find a case, we'll negotiate a hefty reward.
All right.
Because
how far away do you live from Texas?
I don't know, several hours, but it wouldn't take long to get them.
3.5-4 hours.
Well, there's a place called Save-A-Lot Food Stores. I better be getting at least kudos for this effort. There's a store called Save-A-Lot, and they sell like 16-ounce cans of Cowboy Billy's homestyle beans.
Are you serious?
I'm not joking, brother.
Holy smokes, you know, man.
Angelo's is the same market there.
Who is your go-to, Glashes? Just come on.
Who do we got in Texas?
I don't know, but we're going to find someone.
Muddy, aren't you in Texas?
Mr. Muddy himself is in Texas, by gosh.
Well, then get over there and get some of them beans, brother.
Well, link's in the chat room, mate.
I got to see that.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen a Save-A-Lot or an Angelo's.
Throw it in Skype, too.
Yep, I'll dump it in our Skype there. Boop, 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 boop. There we go.
But I'm here to say,
Cowboy Billy beans.
If you want to lose your friends, eat a can of Cowboy Billy baked beans, go to the mall, and shut the elevator off when in mid between floors. I guarantee you.
What do you think about that, Lester? Oh, yeah. I eat them 3 times a day, doggone it. It really keeps me going there. Yeah. Yeah, bubba. Yeah.
Anyway, moving right along.
Who let that pass in the studio again?
It's a good thing Lester's sitting by himself.
Buddy, drag him out. Get him out of here.
Yeah, because seriously, guys, you got to exercise caution when eating Cowboy Billy baked beans. That ain't no joke. They'll put an eye out. Alright, yeah, so moving right along, where do we go next? We had some other subjects to touch on.
Oh, how about Hollow Earth?
Hollow Earth, again?
Wait. I actually want to ask a really... Oh,
goodness, eat some beans and hit that putt-putt boat. Yeah, that'll be it.
There you go.
Now, Just so that you know, Crashlight and any of our other listeners out there tonight, or today, depending on where you are, it's night for me, it's morning for Shaziz. You're all welcome to call in, by the way. All we have to do is add me on Skype, which is Kultus Nagrand, KULTUSNAGRAND, and just chuck me a message and I'll add you to the group conversation here, no dramas about it. And pop-up boat competition.
Yeah.
I got your letter and read a little bit of that letter there.
Goes good.
A couple things in there we got to work on, but other than that, it was great.
All right. Well, we'll sort it out after the show when we're doing the uploads and whatnot.
Yeah. Sure. But anyway, I'm looking forward to getting started on this deal. We haven't really set a date for it or anything just yet, but there's a whole lot of ideas that could come up out of this. And so with that said, how's your project on that going?
Mine? I had a bit more of a think today, and because I got the generator during the week, so now we've got 110 volts, something like 60 amps, just laying around lazily whenever we need it. Not going to burn out the house wiring or anything like that anymore.
Was that the video that you had with the little weed whacker motor?
Nah, not quite. You'll have to wait another day. Tomorrow I'll get you up a video of the new generator.
Cool.
It was poorly manufactured, unfortunately. I have to say that. I went through a company called Color Online. They make these generators and whatnot. They custom built this one for me. It was meant to be 110 volt at 60 hertz. I'll give you a guess at what hertz rating it's running at the present moment.
Let's see, 70 hertz at 240 volts.
Voltage is correct. Voltage is correct. You miles off on the hertz wave, eh?
Okay, so fill us
let
in.
Let me see here.
200.
Holy crud.
Hey, it's more efficient then.
Well, this is my theory, right? Because at the end of the day, it was custom built and I paid good money for it, so I should have ended up with that item. So I'm going to complain about it. But at the end of the day, 200 hertz going into my Tesla Coils NST, as we all know, is going to be more beneficial than a lower hertzian rate, provided I don't saturate the core. But a few discussions I had today, somewhere around about 300-400 hertz, where you'd be looking at getting into trouble. So,
well, we were also talking off of line earlier about some John Hutchinson stuff. You want to go into that?
Yeah, well, Muddy, I need you to that stuff you posted up this morning about John Hutchinson.
Yeah, you said he's going to...
Where was that link, Muddy? Where was that link?
Oh, that was on his latest video. He's talking, he's going to go ahead and drop out of YouTube. He says,
I couldn't find that video, and the link, it's only half a link, but...
Oh, he put all his links to where he was going. I guess I ought to slam that down here in the box here, if I can find it.
Yeah, because apparently John Hutchinson has... decided to upshift from YouTube. From what I gather, it's got more to do with the videos he did over gun control than what he did on free energy. But you know what, guys? We've seen so, like, and to our listeners, you have to understand, someone like Johnny's been involved with the Pentagon, he's been involved in so many crazy adventures in his lifetime that the only way that John's going to ever have a normal life is to disappear somehow. And the only way they're ever going to shut John up is by making him disappear. So, we're not entirely sure as to what John's chain of thought is, but guys, you've seen it as much as I have. John's gone that whole nutso route, like, and we know he's not. Like, you know, he's still there. He's you can tell certain things he says, he's still switched on. It's still John. It is an act.
Well, I believe so too.
But why?
Well,
and this is what frightens me, because we all saw that write up there a few weeks ago where those three scientists are getting handed John Hutchinson's work as their own, levitating with sound waves. Oh, three scientists discover this week. No, John Hutchinson rediscovered it like 30 years ago. I think you just need to, like, get a picture, you know?
Yeah, with that said, I had a video that I did here recently, and had a little controversy over that because it jacked with my camera. But the particular coil that the way that it was designed, has a capacitor layer in there, so it actually holds a charge. I'm not 100% positive how it jacked my camera before I ever even flipped the switch on to start powering it up. But
yeah, because that is odd. Like, as we were discussing, like, even though your caps are AC when there's no pulsation going on through Hertzian wave, then it's effectively a DC DC current sitting in that capacitor. But from the stuff, remember when I rang you up and I was all like really excited because my Tesla coil stored all this energy in it, and it did. Like, it was just tremendous amount of energy still in the coil after I'd finished turning it. Like, you know, I'd completely finished, turned it all off and walk up, and I could literally run my hand up the side of the secondary coil and couple of thousand volts out of every single winding on that as I run my hand up it. But there was an immense amount of what could only be described as a static field. Because that's what it actually felt like on my fingers too, like a static field, like, you know, running your hands through, like, you know, sheets or whatever. You know, it sort of had that sort of textury feeling on my hands. So I wonder if maybe there's some sort of static discharge going on with the device more so than...
Well, you know, it's highly plausible. You rub your feet on the carpet, you put extra electrons on your body, and then it'll hold up that charge until you go touch somebody on the ear or something like that.
Yep.
And so, you know, with that said, the capacitor has voltage in it. It has a charge. And so I can't think of anything else besides of maybe the possibility that my camera, you know, which has a field to it as well, somehow interacting with it, or some other force, you know, still basically energizing that thing. Because I send anybody the video. You can chop that video up and try to see if there's anything that I'll send you the original video to it, and you can chop it up and see if there's any kind of tampering with it or whatever. But I guarantee you, wasn't no tampering with it. When that thing was aimed at my camera, it literally messed the camera so that my voice was slowed down.
Yeah.
So with that said, that's the reason why.
Happen, don't they, Lord?
With that said, that's the reason why I'm interested in John Hutchinson's work, because I know that he used radio transmitters to find different frequency, and the older Navy transmitters that he was actually using to go through these frequencies had a lot wider range than a lot of the ones that you find standard on your shelf. And yep. So, with that said, I'm going to use a signal generator from an old TV repair deal and put different frequencies in there to see what kind of effects that I actually get. I know that the thing is directional. You can see that in the video.
Yeah.
Because if you look at really close in the video, you'll see three monitors in the background, one of which is being disrupted, the other two are not. So, yep. You can tell...
Right.
The one that's it's aimed at is the one that it's being messed with. And so when I turned that around at my camera to video it from the front, my intentions were just to be able to show how much energy was actually coming off the front of it. But the moment I started hitting record on that thing, actually slightly before I started hitting record, it already started jacking with my camera. So, you know, if...
It's definitely an odd... Definitely an audition.
Yeah, I put that whole message in the yeah, chat stuff, tangle, by that. Gosh, box, from John Hutchinson. So it's all there, and the links and everything that I sent you guys, and the date that he wrote it, which was November 2nd, 2013.
Yep.
So if anybody wants a copy of that original video, I'm more than happy to send it to anybody who wants it so they can chop it up and see if there's any tampering going on, but I guarantee you there ain't.
Here we go. The offer is set in stone.
So there is something going on there. Now, how it's able to actually still transmit afterwards, that's a good question. I'm not sure. But
if anybody, the king is a liar, off with their head.
Well, you know, I didn't necessarily call me a liar per se, but just kind of put it out there to, you know, like I'm trying to pull the wool over somebody's eyes. Now, that's not the deal. Now, I did put question mark on the death ray part on the video because it wasn't necessarily intended to be a death ray to kill anybody or anything like that. But to basically say, you know, is it plausible? Because we all know that frequencies can interact with different things in different ways, such as, I've used this before, an opera singer raising their voice up to the resonance of a crystal glass. You can literally get the crystal to vibrate to the point where it actually shatters. And so you know that that is plausible science. You know that...
Same thing as Tesla's earthquake machine.
Yeah, you know that microwaves actually cook food because the water molecule is a dipole molecule, has a positive and a negative, a north pole and a south pole, and so when those waves are crossing that water molecule, it causes them to vibrate at such a rapid rate that they literally create friction, which in turn creates heat and so on. So with that said, you know that frequencies can be dangerous, and so you could build, in theory, a death ray that would, you know, burn somebody from inside out. That's why you always see them signs around radio towers that don't stand too close to the radio tower because of microwaves. You get a sunburn, or maybe worse. Sure. Anyway, the science is there. All you have to do is look for it.
Oh, yeah. I think they say the average of what the mind works on is 7.83 hertz. Nikola Tesla was working with 7.54 hertz for a time and all of that, which got basic, Pike's Peak and everything, got all his notes taken. And they say 6.63 hertz, or 6.66 hertz, will drive you crazy and make you kill yourself.
Something along them lines, yep.
Well, I don't dispute none of that, because, you know...
I don't either.
Like I said, you know, just a simple microwave itself has the capability of creating... You wouldn't want to be inside a microwave while it was going off because you're three-quarters water. So, you know, it essentially cook you. But that's
what
frequency.
That's what they do with those microwave dishes. They take two separate microwave frequencies that are just far enough apart to where the difference is 7.83 hertz, and then they changed one of the frequencies to modulate, and they can speak and make you and it'll modulate one of those frequencies, so it's the frequency shifts along with the audio to make it sound like God is speaking in your mind. And it's pretty awesome what they can do with two frequencies. It's not harmonics, it's the difference of the two that sit there and give you a certain that bring it to that frequency of 7.83 hertz, and then they just modulate it.
Well, there's a video floating around out there about an actual billboard sign that has audio to it, but there you can't hear it with your ears, and you walk by and you hear people talking, but you don't know where it's coming from. So, you know,
voice to skull, hey?
Yeah,
it's coming from inside your head.
You know that your brain is essentially an electrical, you know, it's a computer. It's sending little electrical signals back and forth and telling your body what to do. You know, you have your thoughts, yep, all that stuff. So, by disrupting those, then you're going to get anomalies.
Yeah.
So, you know,
are we going to get Crash on the show here?
I don't think so. Why?
Come on, Crash. Jump on here. Oh, he says no way. Old pewter.
No way to connect. Old pewter.
Oh, I thought you said...
That's no, because Crash Light was just pointing out that he has his own frequency theory, and I invited him on to have a discussion about it.
Oh, I thought you was asking whether or not our show was going to crash.
No, our show will never crash.
I show crash. In order to turn it, when I turn the encoder off, the whole computer crashes, and then I just press the button on the front of the computer to turn it off.
Well, you've got to get a better method than that for you.
Yeah.
That's where you get that 1 minute delay of me coming back in to say hi. Did you get the stream?
Anyway, back to the whole deal with John Hutchison. A lot of the different things that he did, melting metal and stuff like that, are plausible science. We're talking, you know, if you have the capability of cooking food in a microwave oven, then you also have the capability of, with any material, basically jostling around the electrons inside there and, you know, creating all kinds of stuff. Am I wrong?
No.
Well,
Crash says it's simply theory that radio waves cause an effect similar to sonic cleaners in the atmosphere.
Well, you know, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff in my mad science laboratory. You know, with different frequency ranges that I've been messing around with or whatever. And so, you know, lucky I haven't fried my brain or given myself tumors or whatever. But
you are immune, Bubba. You are immune.
There have been incidents, one in particular, where I literally was up for 3 days solid and I didn't realize that I had not eaten or I had not slept for 3 solid days. And so there has to be something to that science. There has to be. Where'd everybody go?
We were thinking.
Oh. So... radio air silence.
Actually, we all thought that you had to lean over and talk to Beverly for a second, so we're all being patient for you.
Nah, she's at the other house right now. Anyway.
Is that your mistress we heard in the background?
No, that was Muddy's.
Yeah, my wife just came home.
Ah, it was your one. Okay.
My sweet honey bunny kissy lips.
Anyway, what do you think about that, what I was telling you about, being up for 3 days solid?
Well, I've, as you know, just recently been messing around with my testicle quite a fair bit. And I don't know if you've noticed, but there has been several times in the last couple of weeks where I have been awake for, well, 3 days solid. And Muddy will confirm this because he sent me to bed a couple of times.
Well, so it's like the energy that's actually coming off of that. Your body, it has water, it has salt, it has iron and different chemicals in it. So you are literally a walking capacitor, you know? And
yep.
So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that you can charge your body up. And so with
the whole theory behind this this new health technique of grounding, isn't it? Is that your body charges up during the day, you know, wearing rubber-soled shoes and all the rest of it. And this thing creates free radicals in your body, and you end up in all kinds of strife.
Well, let's look at the Nephilim. You look at, they got them big, they look like gargoyle glasses. They say, well, that's just a skin cover, and what you're looking at is not their eyes. That's a cover and everything. But the little mouth slit basically just simulates a mouth that is not there. They don't have a mouth.
Yeah.
They feed off the energy around them.
Are we talking about like gray aliens?
Yeah, he just
the gray
aliens on a chair. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, they have no mouths.
Hey, it's mad science after all, man. I'm telling anything goes.
If you came here for sanity, you're in the wrong spot. All right.
So,
but you know why they don't talk? You know, they just think and get inside your brain.
Okay.
Well, from all the experiences of the stories that I've heard about aliens, they're kind of disturbing to me because there's a whole lot of probing going on, and I don't want to get into that, but, bug-eyed, better to leave me alone.
I definitely ain't going to say that that it's fictional. They are real. There's evidence all through history, and especially now. I mean, gosh, they had so much, you know, all them guys say, oh, it's swamp gas, and like I said, they're a bunch of weather balloons up there in Washington sitting in the chairs expelling swamp gas, Bubba.
I would back anyone
to the hills to say that UFOs and aliens are out there. The thing that I find hard is the whole, we've got names for 18 different breeds of them and we know everything about them, but you've never seen one. Yeah, that's a little bit over the top for me.
It's kind of like Bigfoot, you know. There's a lot of people have seen Bigfoot, but then again, we ain't never got a picture of Bigfoot or found a Bigfoot body or anything yet.
Yeah.
So like, I think
There's enough.
We have.
There's enough planets and suns and stars and whatnot out in the universe to account for each grain of sand on the beaches of this planet we call Earth. If you think this is the only planet in all of those grains of sand that have living critters on them, you're in the right place. This is mad science. You're insane. Like, there has to be more than us. Go, sorry, buddy.
That's all right. Let me inject this. Over in Russia, there was a guy who wrote a whole book. He says, I was captured by a Sasquatch or Bigfoot, and basically the main deal is they captured one of them. This is a couple hundred years ago, and they captured one of them, and it was a female, and they gang banged her and they did all that kind of stuff.
But oh man, you can't say that on radio. What's wrong with you?
Oh no, I'm talking about facts. Now the main deal is the offspring were kind of a mix and have been more generations since then. Basically, she became one of the community basically. But the offspring later are still here, and they went back to double check and to figure if this story was all true, because a lot of people say, well, yeah, people write books about all sorts of stuff. Well, they tracked it down and they found these people, and they are big face, they have big boned faces, and they're ugly, you know, but and they're good size, and you know, don't look too intelligent, but they're definitely real.
My brain hurts.
I'm going to teach you a couple of new words tonight, buddy. Intercourse with multiple partners. That's a term you need to learn for next show, alright?
Well, the main deal is she was the neighborhood. What do they call them over there?
Bike.
Alright.
Yeah,
moving right along.
Neighborhood prostitute. Yeah, there we go.
Moving right along.
He's just lost like three networks, buddy.
All right.
Well,
look.
It's what they wrote.
All right.
The documentation.
Okay. So we gotta get my head around this. All right. So the Russians are sick individuals. If that's what they were up to, but that's neither here nor there. I need to physically see Bigfoot for my own two eyes, and then you guys will hear me. I'm saying, look, I saw a Bigfoot. You know, okay, I'm gonna tell you a story. One time, me and my cousin was down at the riverside, and we were down there fishing. All right, and in the area that I am, there are black bears. They are known to be, you know, in this area, but you don't see them very often. However, bears are really good swimmers. And so my leaning is towards we come across a black bear. But anyway, the moon's out. We can see across the lake, and me and my cousin sitting down there, we're fishing, you know. And the lake is nothing more than an offshoot of the river itself. But we're actually fishing in the lake portion. It used to be an old rock quarry. And so the moon's shining over the water, and we can see real good across the other side. And we're sitting there fishing, and all of a sudden we see something tall, black, and hairy come running across the other side, jump in the lake, and start swimming towards us. Now, my thing is, I think that what we saw was we were in the wrong neighborhood at the wrong time, and a black bear's trying to run us up out of their turf, right? And so started heading towards us. Needless to say, we didn't waste no time about getting our fishing poles and getting up out of there. And as we're driving off, and I'm looking at my cousin, he's looking at me, and we're like, did we just see what we saw? And he's telling me, man, that was Bigfoot. And I'm saying, well, I don't know if it was Bigfoot, but I'm not going to stick around, and I wasn't going to stick around long enough to find out. All I know is it was big, it was black, it was hairy, it was swimming towards me, and I wanted to get the heck out of Dodge as quick as fast. And so, you know, that was the only experience, that I've ever gained. All right, who's got the radio on? That was the only experience by which I ever even came close to seeing anything remotely like Bigfoot.
Yep.
I'm still leaning towards the black bear theory until I actually get some photo documentation or something like that, you know. And as far as the aliens, same thing, you know. If an alien shows up in my yard, you'll be the first to know about it.
One of the ZPE boys from another forum, Mr. Angus Wangus, he's had some pretty interesting builds on his website, but or on his YouTube channel there. But another thing he does in his pastime is he chases Bigfoot, and I've watched a couple of his videos. Probably a couple of things he could change in his tack, like, you know, make you know, the food, like, you know, 8 foot off the ground or something, make sure Bigfoot's the one taking it. But apparently Bigfoot's been passed a few times. So,
well, I hope to see one day.
Well, somewhere over there in Russia, there's a girl that's got everything a man could want. Big muscles, hair on her chest, you know, the whole deal.
Holy smokes, I don't want that.
Yeah. What
brings a new meaning to snuggle, huh?
How European.
I'll leave you alone on that, bro.
So anyway, we've talked about Hollow Earth, we've talked about a hollow moon, we've talked about Bigfoot, we've talked about frequencies, we've talked about pop boats to some extent, and been sidetracked once or twice. So where do we go to from here, guys?
Well, I think we actually need to put a couple of things in concrete with our pop build.
Yeah, there we go.
I did actually start a group for us in Skype, but obviously it hasn't popped up for you yet. Where I threw a couple of dates in there, and that should make it pop up now if it hasn't already. I was thinking we could start on have a start date of 15th of January and run it through to the 15th of March. That would give boys and girls there a couple of months to get their stuff together.
That sounds good.
Seeing as we're expecting them to build about a jug, there'll be a bit of research involved, you know, that kind of thing. Now, yet to get hold of our two discussed judges, because both of them have been heavily involved in other things, but we will have them here in the next couple of weeks, because we're doing a carryover show, or it's not even really an award ceremony now, is it? It's sort of a prelude or a postlude, I guess, to the Pulse Motor Build Off competition that just happened recently. Tin Man Russ and I believe Russ is going to try and get every participant involved in this, so we could actually have a bit of a party on Skype. I'm not here, mate, but we'll
cool.
deal with that as it comes along.
That what you was talking about, getting some of these guys on the radio show?
Yeah.
Right on.
Because that was discussed on. Remember there when we had Tin Man on the show, we discussed that with him then, and they've just had their show with Gary Hendershot, Smart Scarecrow, last night, and that went really well for them. And I was watching that today, and Russ mentioned that they were due to come on our show as well. And I remembered, not at all. Hang on, so I shot Russ off because I'm generally the Skype secretary for the shows. So I popped him off an email today, and he's gotten back to me. He's just going to finalise a date with his work and all the rest of it, and then we're sweet, we're set, we'll have the boys and girls in here. So that's going to happen over the next 2 weeks, and in that same time frame we'll be able to have our two judges that we've pre-selected nailed down. So that'll be that squared away, and I suppose during a week to be announced next weekend, we shall sit down and we will work out prizes.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Sound like a go?
Yeah, I'm hip to that.
Alrighty.
I'm also probably going to do another video on my death ray deal. I'll probably try to dismantle it on a video to show everybody how this thing's actually built.
Yeah,
won't take it down to the capacitor layer, because that entails me unwinding the core or the coil.
Yep.
And that was it took forever and a day just to wind that thing.
Yeah. No, that's all good. That was with that real heavy gauge wire, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can pull the center core out and show people how that's wound. But I'm talking about the actual windings on the outer layer of the capacitor layer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because if you've wound Tesla coils before, you know that takes a long time if you're doing it by hand.
Yeah, you ain't pulling it apart, that's for sure.
No. But nah, I can't take it.
You don't even like to go back one turn when you make a mistake.
and I'm thinking there's also another possibility that those coils themselves, because they are aluminum, could be acting as a capacitor, you know, with the dielectric being in the center, of the two coils. So maybe there was extra charge there that I wasn't aware of.
True. Well, if you have two coils and you sit one inside the other, you will get capacitance. You know with your strike rail not to close off your strike rail on your Tesla coil, yeah?
Yeah.
Because effectively you're creating a shunt. And you'll mess with the frequency or the harmonic resonance of your coils. So,
well, bending,
you know, that's why when you build a strike rail, you leave that, you know, quarter inch gap or whatever in your little bit of tubing where you push your two ends together. I certainly see some sort of what would you call it?
Deconstruction,
coupling, isn't it really?
Oh yeah. Well, the hardest
coupling.
The hardest portion of building that coil is to actually wind that center core to fit up that 4-inch pipe.
Yeah.
And because that's some thick wire, and I had to literally tape one into I had an old maul, splitting maul for splitting firewood, and it had a steel pipe on there, so I had to tape one end down real tight and then stand on it while I bent it around a little bit at a time until I got it small enough to actually fit up that tube.
Yeah.
So there's a pretty good size coil inside there, and it's all aluminum wiring, and so I'm thinking that we're getting capacitance between those two coils, just like you explained.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it sounds like. But still though, it doesn't give us the oscillation.
No, it don't, but...
Where's that oscillation come from? Like, that, we've got to find a source for that. Like...
Well, I just...
What's making it have a heartbeat when it's dead? Like, come on.
I don't know, other than to try to re-record it and see if I get the same anomaly.
See if you do it... Hey. Perfect.
So I will do that in that portion of the video and to see if I get the same anomaly while it's facing the camera. You know, charge it up facing the opposite direction and then spin it around just like I did before and see if I get the same anomaly. If I do, then there's something to it.
Yep.
But it wasn't put in there intentional to deceive anyone. I just left it in there because it was funny.
You worded it in such a way that I would assume that you were more asking for other people's opinions, but I don't know. Someone's phone.
Man, live on the radio.
Never a dull moment live on radio, is there?
How about we throw a quick tune in there and have a quick break and then come back a little refreshed and try not to talk about what the Russians did to Bigfoot.
Okay. We certainly won't be discussing that when we come back.
All right, with that said, I'll throw a couple tunes on, and we'll be back in 5 or 10 minutes.
Good.
All right, peace and love, everybody. We'll be right back.
final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations,
to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Getting burnt out on the whole global warming deal. They're going to charge you taxes on CO2, so it's going to cost you to breathe regardless of what you say or do about it. I'm just going to humor them. Now, I got to say it. When the tax bills start rolling in for your carbon tax and all that, because, you know, they did say that cows are putting methane, which is another greenhouse gas, up into the air, I'm going into cork business, because there's a lot of cows out there. And so you're going to have to put a cork in this way, and you got to put a cork in that way in order to keep that cow from farting and burping, because otherwise you're going to cause global warming to happen so fast, you know, with all them cows farting. Either way, you know, the terrorists, they could probably, like, go around and feed all the cows beans, and the people, for that matter, 3 bean chili. I mean, just think about it. If everybody's eating 3 bean chili and the cows are eating 3 bean chili, first off, don't stand behind the cow if there's a cork in this way, because if that cow decides he's going to sling some beans, you're liable to get an eye put out. You know, the thing about it is, if there was enough methane reaching from that cow's butt clear up to the Earth's atmosphere, the first time you went out there and lit up a smoke, we'd have some serious problems. You want to talk about global warming? Methane's flammable. I wonder if they figured that one out. Like I said before, man, I'm just gonna humor the global warming freaks and let them have it. Wait for my day in court and all that kind of stuff. That's about all I got to say on that episode. So y'all take it out how you want. I'm going into cork business, so if y'all need any corks for your cows, you know, they're going to be pretty good sized corks, so just don't stand behind them in case there's any gas buildup or anything like that, because I'd hate to have you get knocked out. You know, I'm going to have a disclaimer on there that says if you get hit in the face with a cork, hey, I'm not liable. It's better than blowing up if you had to light up a smoke, you know, with all them beans flying everywhere. Well, y'all take care. Peace. Good luck with that global warming. Yeah, before I take off, I got to say this. I had a eureka moment, and I got this theory on how the dinosaurs died. Okay, now picture this. Picture yourself in an elevator and some scumbag comes up in that elevator and the door shuts and you're riding up and you're in between floors and turkey next to you rips one out, you know, and your eyes start watering, you're about to gag and you're ready to roll up out that elevator. Well, I was thinking about that. Now think about a dinosaur. They were huge, man. Imagine how much freaking gas comes out of a dinosaur's ass. Alright, I can see it now. This is exactly how it played out, right? Dinosaur's over there, and he's grazing and everything, you know, and caveman's over there by his cave, and he's getting ready to try to light up a fire because nighttime's coming, and he's figuring, you know, I gotta get this fire lit because it's gonna get cold out here. Well, long comes old T-Rex, starts chasing the dinosaur that's just now sitting there trying to graze, mind his own farewell. You know, suddenly that scares the living you-know-what out of the dinosaur, and he rips one loose, man. Just about the time that caveman's over there, he's rubbing his sticks together and stuff, and all of a sudden a spark hits that cloud of methane, and boom! Every damn dinosaur on the planet just gone. It's just a theory. Alright, well, enough of that nonsense. I ain't messing with the global warming freaks anymore, you know, because they just get on my nerves anyway, because no matter what you say to them, their science is better than your science, and you don't know nothing. All right? Got to get that carbon tax passed. Hey, that's what it's all about. Money. Woo! We green people got to have money. All right. Peace, everybody.
Operator, give me the number for 911. We'll be right back.
Everybody, it's Old Shazizz out here in the Mad Science Laboratory. Got Cultists and Muddy on the air. Where were we, guys? I lost track.
Well,
are we talking about instant dino burgers?
Yeah.
Now we were talking about the capacitance head of your Tesla coil and the directionability and could it hold frequency just because it had a static charge.
Well, I had forgot to mention it in the video that I had a carbon rod and a coil up on the top half of it. I'll have to point that out in the next video. But I'm just trying to figure out whether or not there could be any residual, the field collapsing, or the field hadn't finished collapsing, or whatever. Something caused my camera to mess up.
Yeah, you. If you look into ham radio antennas, antenna theory, an antenna is, they say it's pure inductance, but you still have capacitance. And anywhere you have inductance and capacitance, you have a time constant, which basically means you have a tank circuit, which is an oscillator. And if you don't have to pulse energy to it to the frequency, it will resonate at that frequency. All you have to do is supply it with energy. You had a lot of static electricity and energy in the air going back into it. So when you turned it off, yes, it was still oscillating. I can guarantee that. And if you look at a quarter wave, not a quarter wave dipole, but a quarter wave ground plane, the quarter wave ground plane is set up to where it has four aerials, or you can just basically use a tin roof and then put your aerial straight up. But the fact is, for direct to make a kind of like a makeshift beam without making a Yagi beam. A Yagi beam looks like a Triple H, but for a quarter wave ground plane, if you take and couple of them aerials get knocked off and you only got one in one direction, the radiance or the RF energy will go in the direction of that one ground plane aerial that shoots out horizontal, and the vertical one will just kind of stretches the wave between the two. And so yeah, it was directional, more like I guarantee your takeoff angle is somewhere right around 40 degrees going upward. But, yeah, if that thing was leaned, I bet you'd get a heck of a lot more results. Or if you went ahead and brought that, the part that sticks out down a little bit, you'll get a lot more, a lower takeoff angle.
Well, actually, looking at it, the beam is kind of angled up, and whenever I pointed it outside and took my meter outside to see how far the range actually stretched, I had to, as I was walking out, had to keep standing on my toes even higher the farther I got out, and I got up to about 21 feet, and I couldn't get a signal anymore.
Right. The if you look at a dipole, an inverted V dipole, or if more like in the rhombic antenna propagate theory, if you take a dipole and instead of turning it into an inverted V with the counterpoise, one counterpoise going down at 45 degrees and the driven element going down the other direction at 45 degrees. Instead of going down, if you put them sideways, Some people think, well, yeah, I'm going to transmit east and west and north and south at the same time. But no, it doesn't work out that way. Just a straight dipole would broadcast broadside. But if you put them out there at 90 degrees from each other, the signal actually goes 45 degrees. In other words, dead center of the two directions that the aerials are putting out. So you're not transmitting broadside off one and then broadside off the other. You're actually transmitting all in one direction. So basically what you're doing is pretty much the same thing, and except you had a higher takeoff angle. If you bring it down and you lean the thing over, you can probably get down to 2 to 3 degrees, which is great. And you could probably that's the property of a rhombic antenna. A rhombic antenna, its takeoff angle is the lowest possible, and there is a deal called rhombic propagation. It is the only antenna that has propagation named after it, because it doesn't need sunspots, it doesn't need ionization of the atmosphere. It kind of works on the theory of, if you look across a still lake and you see across it, basically it looks like a mirror until you start looking down. You get closer to the water and you look down, you can see through it, but at an angle it looks more like a mirror. Same thing with a piece of glass. You can see through the glass. If you're looking at it sideways, it's more of a mirror. Oh. So if you bring it down, you might be able to transmit that all the way down there to, let's say, somewhere under the world called Australia.
Get that.
Oh, yeah. Because we had a CQ competition on 10 meters. They do that quite a bit for ham radio. And you take the whole weekend, and it's a CQ contest. And everybody's going, CQ, CQ, CQ contest, and they're trying to see where they're going. Well, in our ham radio group, we had our own little contest. We decided, 850 watts would be pitted against 200 watts on a beam. Well, I was with the group that was using the beam. And we were kicking their tails. We were blowing them away.
You know, you give me a thought. A Tesla coil is essentially an antenna. It's a transmitter slash receiver.
Yes, it is.
And so with that said, I do have an old CB radio, and I think that I might make it a portion of that video to actually see if I can transmit and how good I can transmit using instead of a regular CB antenna, hooking the coaxial up to the primary on the thing and seeing if I can actually transmit and receive with that coil.
You'll need to make a roll inductor tuner or a matchmaker, which is basically nothing but a transformer. All through your circuitry and everything, you'll find in between these little amplifier stages, which you'll see a few capacitors and a transistor, and then next thing you know, you'll see a coil or a little small transformer, and it goes into the next stage. Those are the same thing. Those are matchmaking. You look at the impedance of one side of your transformer and the impedance of the other side of your transformer, and then you send it through into the other side. That is to match the impedance. When your impedance matches, you get maximum power transfer. And so if you can find any matchmaker, and you can put it into that Tesla coil, and she'll kick up. So that's the way to get your power out.
Hey, there's a new project for us.
I'm sure you'll get lots of ground wave.
There's a new project for us. We could all build the same identical length coils. And see if we can, during skip, see if we can transmit to one another with some old Citizens Band radios. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the other thing I'm saying. If you take the takeoff angle, if you can get the takeoff angle to go down and get to 2 to 3 degrees, then you don't need to wait for the propagation to come. You already have propagation. You have made propagation, like the mirror on the water, you know.
Cool.
Get that, and you'll bounce probably 2 skips to Australia, no problem.
What'd you say there, Coltis?
How do you adjust that? Is it just tilting the aerial, or is it a bit more complex than that? How do you?
Well, you got your ground. Sometimes the height of the antenna has a factor. You probably have to have it sitting the top of it up there right at about 9 foot. And like I was saying, the Tesla coil configuration he was using had a takeoff angle somewhere around 40 to 45 degrees. If it was all leaned and still set at that site, it would probably follow the ground for quite a ways. And then after it got over the horizon, it would turn into a horizontal propagation that would skim right off the layers of the atmosphere and bounce right back down. Didn't matter if we have sunspots or not, which I'm pretty sure we got plenty of them anyway. But that just makes the mirror effect a lot better.
Cool.
Well, it's all very
interesting. The cool thing I found about talking to Australia is you can aim that antenna in just about any direction you want.
Hey, Cultus.
Just as long as it's down, hey, mate.
Cultus.
Yeah, mate.
In Australia, do you have any regulations against citizen band radio, CB radios?
A heap of them.
Oh, wow. So that would be a problem?
Heap of them. Well, it depends. What would I need to do?
Well, I'm thinking if we could get a couple old CBs and send one to each of us. I know Muddy's probably got one or two laying around. I know I got one, but it's not.
One or two dozen. Are they 27 megahertz?
Yes, 27.185 middle frequency channel 19 for the 23 channels. The 40 channels, which they say the 23s are illegal because they're not filtered as good, but the...
They're actually... A lot of the old 23s...
Channel, your mid-frequency is somewhere around channel 18.
Is that what they tell you? Here in Australia, if you've got a channel 23, you can tune into the army, you can tune into aircraft, you can do all kinds of funny things with a 23 channel.
Yeah.
You can also be told to get off the airwaves or you'll be paid a visit by the army.
Well, I don't want to get nobody jailed or shot, but I think it would be kind of cool if we could actually transmit on Tesla coils.
40 channels.
Just drop an Australian accent, tell them you're an American, and tell them, express to them the middle finger.
Yeah, just like, get your redneck accent worked out real good and say something like, Breaker 19, rubber ducky.
Break 19, rubber ducky, I got a Texas ball machine up my backside.
Yeah, you gotta get the voice for it too. Oh, yeah, that's right.
That'd be like, them doggone Americans are crazy.
I'll try to be like, trying to be like the bandit there.
Hey, it's pretty good.
Back to Radio Dog was Smokey and the Bandit movie.
It was pretty good, but I still registered a twang of Australian in there, so you're gonna have to work on that.
There was a little bit of kangaroo still in there, was there?
Yeah. And so we you might be able to fool an American with that, but I don't know about your own people.
Only the Americans at Walmart, bro.
They probably kick in the door.
Only the Americans at Walmart.
Hey, if we do this and we all get Tesla coils together the same size, and we transmit it, and they kick your door in, make sure you keep the video running.
Oh yeah, of course.
That way we can all
you all know when to run.
Well, the ham radio license only costs like $6.50.
No. We are fine to transmit on the citizen band, but like I've seen like your videos of you boys over there doing those key downs and things like that. Like if you did that here in Australia, you'd be in like more pooting your poker sticker.
Man.
Like, yeah, we're allowed 5 watts out the back of the radio and whatever decibel gain you can get off your aerial.
So, what if you plug it straight into the ground itself and we use the actual earth to transmit?
Yeah, let's just use telluric currents and bugger them all away.
Yeah, because they wouldn't be able to find you. They wouldn't be able to find you that way.
Yep.
You go down to 80 meters, around 5.8 megahertz. To get the farthest out in ground waves, that's up to 1,200 miles. But if you got propagation, usually 80 meters. Usually 80 meters is worldwide anyway.
Yeah, Tesla did it.
That's what I was saying. That's what I just said. Okay. Tell Tesla that.
Yeah, the higher one frequency, the more the like when you get up into the gigahertz, it's more line of sight transmission. But you get down into lower frequencies, and it starts going through the earth. It goes around the earth on the ground, and also through the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Use the upper layer of the atmosphere as part of capacitance.
Okay, so that's the lower frequency, and the higher frequency gets you close to Earth. Is that the sort of theory? All right, cool.
And so, with that said, man, they would have a harder time finding you if we were shooting it through the dirt. But just in case, keep the camera rolling while they're kicking your door in.
Well, they got trees called the silver maple, and basically these trees, it doesn't matter for like 25 miles. If you got a silver maple and there seem to be few around you, they're no farther than like 40 to 50 feet from each other, all of those trees are the same tree. And people tap into the root with the ground, and then they just tap, you know, they tap a nail in and keep on going up until they get, until the SWRs, the standing wave ratios, go down on the radio and it transmits up. They call it woodizontal because it's not horizontal or vertical, but I didn't know what it was called, so I call it horundicular before I figured out what propagation it would be called. The main deal is all these root systems are connected, and they are conductive, so you'd be transmitting off bunches of them, and the thing is, you'd have one heck of a ground.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. So, wow. Anybody?
Well,
sure.
I am thinking that so long as my gain is through my antenna, which is my Tesla coil, they can't complain too much.
Well, Tesla coils are made to resonate, so I'm anxious to.
It would be interesting.
See, you've seen
what I'll do. I'll get hold of the PVC, because the PVC is probably going to be the hardest thing for us to match, because you got Imperial, I've got metric, so one of us is going to have to buy that and ship it to the other side. So I'll get the PVC. That'll allow us to wrap exact coils.
Buddy, do you have a couple spare radios around that you want to sell?
Basically the ones I got a few. Either they need mic cords or they need work inside. I haven't played with them so long, I forgot which ones work. But I can take a few out there and play with them. Put them on the dummy load and fire them up and see what I get through my meter and stuff like that. I don't mind sending a couple off.
Cool. Let's plan on this. This will be another one down the line, and we'll get one.
And I'll tweak them up for you.
We'll get one in each of our areas, and see if we can use either during skip or even normal time. See if we can't transmit to each other.
Yep.
That'd be a fascinating experiment. Because
I've talked to Australia barefoot a few times from here.
Nice.
Well, once you get one to him and he doesn't get jailed, we don't want him beat up or jailed.
Maybe they can't find your antenna.
hide the antenna in a cactus.
Yeah, I used to be a bugger. I think I told you boys about it just before. We used to go squelch hunting for people. You know, the local smart Alex, you just squelch hunt him, you know. Every time he'd open his mic and start carrying on again, you know, you just tweak the squelch up a little bit more till you blank him out and just drive around the block a couple of times. Yep, he's this way.
Huh.
Just keep on going until you find his aerial.
You can disguise your Tesla coil as a Saguaro cactus. That's some cactus that look like gunfire.
They'll never notice that out here, buddy.
Yeah.
Nothing suspect in my backyard.
All right, guys. Well, we're coming down to like the last 8 minutes of the show. You guys got anything you want to say there?
Well, that happened fast. All right. Well.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Keep an eye out on the homepage during the week, which is cultus.weebly.com. We will get up some information there on the pulse, on the pop pop boat build off. It will also be available on Shaziz's website, and you'll probably find it in the new magical Google circles during the week as well.
Yeah, Google seems to be taking over, man.
Yeah, man, I've looked. They bought out YouTube. It was inevitable. They wanted to implement their own platform. You know, this is going to happen.
Yeah, I figure pretty soon they're going to scoot us all
like
over.
Like a Facebook.
Yeah, that's what they. Well, that's what they want. They want to take over from Facebook, and they can't do that with the platform that they had previously. And by doing what they're doing, they're taking a massive portion of the internet and forcing them into their own version of Facebook. So, you know, I mean, they are going to win out, and the old FBI is going to lose their information cell. But that's just tough.
Yeah, they're doing the same thing in YouTube as they're using Facebook as a template to try to take over. Because look, I deleted my Facebook. I don't know how many times, and within a half hour it's back up. And I deleted my Google Plus account, and it was back up.
Yeah.
Keep on trying to change my name, and oh my goodness, it's a real pain.
Yeah. I actually ended up with two profiles. Just prior to us doing our Tesla call discussion, and that's where the whole muck-up came from with it getting posted to the wrong channel, because while they were changing it around and implementing it all, they'd removed certain buttons from the Plus accounts, which one of them was the Hangouts on Air. But anyway, and make sure you pop over to my YouTube channel and check that out, boys and girls. It's youtube.com/Desert Experimenter. And Muddy, over to you for the last couple of minutes, buddy.
Yeah, mine is www.youtube.com/user/muddymuddymudman. And I'll also want to put out there in another, 7 days, I think it is? No, it ain't 7 days. It's a few more days here on the 12th. Missouri Wind and Solar is going to give away a free wind turbine. You need to check out, just spell it out as one word, Missouri Wind and Solar, and check them out and go to the free wind turbine giveaway. And put in 4 comments only, no more than 4 comments. And we're going to go in there, and I'm going to be picking the winner for that. And Missouri Wind and Solar is going to give that away. And by the way, he gave me one, but not one of the ones he's given away. He gave me one of these cheap Chinese ones that last for like 6 months. And he had one up there, and he took it apart, and it had water in it, and I mean halfway. So basically, I'm going to try to seal that up. I'll be making a video on that as well. So anyway.
Jeff's definitely honest in that fact, isn't he, where, you know, he has seen
he
there's a fault
sell.
In that product.
He didn't want to sell. Just gave him away. Friend, yeah. He had a few.
Exactly. So
got lucky with that one.
Yeah, kudos to him for that, you know. I mean, make sure you pop over and check out Jeff's channel, as Marty said, because, top bloke. Who doesn't want a 400-watt wind generator?
Bottom.
All right, well, with that said, guys, great show, man. We're down to the last 4 minutes here. So with that said, I'm going to say peace and love to everybody. Check out my YouTube as well, Shaziz. You can find me on YouTube. And everybody take care out there. Peace and love. And catch you on the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow. Hope you guys get around to it. Peace and love.
Yeah, we'll be here.
Share our radio station on all your social networks. If you are on Facebook, let them know when we're on air so we can get more people over here to hang out with us. Take care, buddy.
Or Google Plus.
Yeah, Google Plus.
Don't forget to add radio.com there, and you can join in the chat room with us.
Yep, and you can always call in live. There you go. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
In constant sorrow through his days.
trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. No pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble, I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Never expect to see you again. For I'm bound to ride that northern railroad. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps you'll die upon this train. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger, my face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Ah, crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.